I'll lead us in a short prayer as we stand. In the Old Testament book of Isaiah, God describes his future heavenly kingdom as an incredible party, an incredible banquet. The Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that through Jesus Christ you invite us to be part of your kingdom. Please help us to see the wonder of that kingdom and how it is possible to be part of it. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Please take your seat. Well, it's very good to have David Cook back with us today. And David will be with us for the next few weeks, taking us through some of the big questions of life. David is over from Australia. Many of us will have heard him speak a number of times before, and he's going to be with us for a few months, actually, while in the UK, travelling around, speaking at various places, and will be here at St. Helens on quite a few occasions. The other card in your service sheet be good to have a look at as well. David is doing a special evening event on Monday, the 14th of May. It should be a really good thing to be at, to bring others along to. Be in here at a drinks and canapé reception. And just a word on that, it'll be set out a bit slightly different to usual. There'll be chairs like this, but also some tables scattered around. So if you'd like to bring a group of people to that and want to book a table, it'd be worth getting in quick. There's only a limited number of those tables. So if you're interested in that, please book up quickly. I'm going to hand over now to Andrew from Marsh, who will read from page 51 of the Luke's Gospels on your seats. Thanks, Andrew.
So as Wes said, we're reading from page 51. It's Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 15. When one of those who reclined at table with Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But Jesus said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please excuse me.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to examine them. Please excuse me.' And another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'"
To the gymnasium in Sydney, I like to strike up a conversation with whoever happens to be on the machine next to me. She was about 55, I would say, when she got on the walking machine. I was on a walking machine, and I could see that the lady had her earpiece in each ear, and so I started a conversation. "What sort of music do you like?" I said. She said, "Oh, I don't like any of this new stuff. I like AC/DC and U2. I thought, "Please don't ask me what I like. Frank Sinatra and Bing Crosby. Doesn't rate, does it?" One of my favourite singers, however, is a man by the name of Leonard Cohen. He wrote the song for Shrek, "Hallelujah." Leonard Cohen, on a concert series he did in Sydney recently, said this: that he had investigated all religions, all faith systems, but his own natural cheerfulness kept breaking into his life as an antidote to any of them. And then he said he finally decided that he would rest his faith in a combination of Judaism and Buddhism. He'd investigated them all, and that's where he came to rest. When I heard him say that, one of my favourite singers, I wondered whether he had investigated real Christianity or a parody of the real thing. Before Cat Stevens, another favourite singer of mine, became Yusuf Islam, he said he investigated all the faith systems as well before he became a Muslim. And I wondered whether he had investigated real Christianity or a parody of the real thing. What had attracted these men to Judaism, Buddhism, and Islam? What is authentic Christianity? What is a parody? We need to understand what authenticity is. And this afternoon, friends, I'm going to answer four big questions, and I'm going to do it in 20 minutes. Question one, what is it like to be a Christian? Question two, how can I become a Christian? Question three, who will go to heaven? Question four, if I don't become a Christian, is it a big deal? And in one story, Jesus answers all four questions. It's important that we get the source of information right. And in this case, there is no greater source than Jesus Christ himself to tell us about the nature of true Christianity. And as I'm reading this, I'm imagining Leonard Cohen sitting in front of me and Jesus answering each of his questions about authentic Christianity. Question one, what is it like to be a Christian? Well, listen to what Jesus says. It's like going to a great banquet which you have not provided and which you have not prepared. So it is not endurable, it is actually enjoyable. A friend of mine had his only daughter getting married and he said to the caterers, "Now, not many of my friends drink alcohol, but they eat plenty of food. I want plenty of food to be there. When we turned up, it was not supper, it was not dinner, it was not a snack, it was not finger food. It was an enormous banquet, and as we were leaving, they kept bringing food out." It is a great banquet of which God is the provider and the preparer, and it means that every God-given appetite will be met. Recently on BBC 5 Live or Live at 5 or whatever it's called, I heard an Australian man being interviewed, and this is what he said about life. He said, "Well, my view of life is that it is a sexually transmitted terminal disease." And I thought, what a despairing view. What is it like to be a Christian? It is not gloomy. It is not endurable. It is like coming to a banquet which has been provided and prepared for you. So how can I become a Christian? Second question. Well, you can build theology and philosophy, but it is as simple as in accepting an invitation to a party. When I was young, I thought that life was very simple, and now I'm older, I realise that life is quite complex. But when I was young, I thought that there was one area of life that was quite complex, becoming and being a Christian, reading the Bible, going to First Communion, being good. But now I'm old, I realise that becoming and being a Christian is not complex. It is quite straightforward. Accept the invitation. Who will go to heaven according to Jesus? Those who've accepted the invitation. It's remarkable, isn't it? You cannot invite yourself. You make no contribution, you cannot earn it. Come as you are. I was talking to a young man recently who wanted to invite a lady out on a date. I said, "Good, she's a fine lady. I hope it goes well. When will you ask her?" He said, "Oh, when I clean away some bad habits. I want to make sure I've got the maximum chance." And a lot of people think that about coming to God. Before I become a Christian, I better clean myself up. It's like the lady who cleans the house up because the cleaner is coming today and she tidies everything up. And so I clean myself up in preparation for God. Come as you are, Jesus says. It has been done. This is a wide and inclusive invitation. Is it a big deal, fourthly, if I don't come? Yes, it is. Because you cannot save yourself, but according to this verse, look at verse 24, you can damn yourself. Not one of those will get a taste of my banquet, Jesus says. So here is the ultimate judgment. You can understand any of you who are parents of adolescents. The adolescent who shakes their fist at their mother or father, I never want to see you again. And the ultimate judgment is, you never will see me again. No, I don't want to come. And God says, well, you won't come. It's the ultimate judgment. Well, that's it. There's the answer to the four questions. You say, well, why doesn't he sit down now? Well, there's a little more to say, and I've still got, I think, about 10 minutes left, 12 minutes left. So let's look at three things. Number one, what is the setting for this story? You'll notice in Luke 14, if you've got it open there, on page 51, Jesus is at a Pharisee's house, and he is giving the Pharisees a lesson in etiquette. Verse 10, he says, if you're invited to come to a banquet, take the lowest place. Verse 13, he says, when you send invitations out to a dinner party, why don't you invite the poor or the crippled or the lame or the blind? They can't pay you back and you will be blessed. And then a man comes up to him and says, verse 15 says, blessed are those who will feast on the day. Here's a man of presumption. On the base of my race or ethnic privilege, I deserve to be there. And here is Jesus' last contact with the Jewish leadership of his day before he faces them in court just prior to that first Easter. And here is a man who believes that because of his Jewish background, because he's a member of Israel, then he will have automatic access to all areas. And really, it's got nothing to do with Jesus. So here is the story. A certain man who had a capacity to put on a great banquet sends out the invitations. In a day where there is no refrigeration, you need an idea of the numbers who are coming. And people say, yes, 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 we'll all be there. The second invitation goes out. The food is now ready. You'd better come because it won't keep. And at that point, they start offering feeble excuses. Look in verse 18 to 20. One says, I bought a field. I can't come. One says, I've got five oxen I've just bought, I can't come, I've got to go and try them out. And the other one says, I've just been married, I can't come. Now, who buys a field without first inspecting it? There was a man I knew in my first parish at a place called Wobbegar. He lived in Sydney, he wanted to be a farmer, he bought a farm in Wobbegar. He thought, 100 miles north you can grow wheat, I'll be able to grow wheat in Wobbegar. He bought the farm sight unseen. He lasted one season. 100 miles north, good, thick, black soil. Wobbegar soil, thin and sandy. He bought sight unseen. You don't do it. Five oxen. What you need to know about these oxen is that they are fit and they've been trained to pull cooperatively together. You don't buy the oxen without first testing them out to make sure that is the case. And even so, you've got the farm and you've got the oxen, go to the banquet, and at the end of the banquet you'll still have the farm and you'll still have the oxen. And then you've got this young man who says, I've just been married. Well, he can be exempt from military service for 12 months on the basis that he's just been married, so that he can go and establish himself in married life. And so here is a close to legitimate excuse. But this is an invitation to a banquet. It's not an invitation to a battle. Bring your wife along. All of these people are showing by their response that they place a low-scale importance on this invitation. They are flippant. They said yes and now they're saying no. It's not important to them. I know people who come to England from Australia. They are in the forefront of the Republican movement in Australia. And for some reason, my friend got an invitation to a Buckingham Palace garden party. He couldn't resist. But I said, you're a Republican, for goodness sake. Couldn't resist the invitation. I was a principal at a Bible college for many years, and students would invite my wife and I to their weddings. Sometimes we could go, sometimes we couldn't. A student invited us to a wedding in South Africa. We went. Why did you go to a wedding in South Africa? Because this one was our son who was marrying our future daughter-in-law. Of course we went. You see, you decide, don't you, on the basis of who invites you and the importance of the occasion. Here is a certain man, and it is disrespectful to him. It is an affront to him. Oh, initial interest, yes. Come now. Oh, no. And so if you look in verse 21, you'll see anger. Invite the poor, the crippled, the lame and the blind. as they're mentioned back there in verse 13. And they are surprised. We get an invitation from such a man to such a wonderful occasion? But verse 22, there is still room. Go further out into the streets, because there's this mixture of a generous determination that every seat be filled with a resolute anger that those who have made excuse will not get a taste of this banquet. Well, friends, it's a weighty story. What does it mean? It simply means that God is the master. The first invitation goes out through the prophets to Israel. The banquet is coming. And here is this man in verse 15. He heard the prophets and he's looking forward to the coming of the banquet. But Jesus now comes and says, the food's ready. Come now. But the man's there because he's part of the chosen people. He's an automatic right to be there. It's got nothing to do, surely, with Jesus and God's kingdom. Put off every excuse. You cannot contribute, but by your refusal, you can exclude yourself. God will make sure his banquet is not wasted. Every seat will be occupied. Who will be in heaven? Those who accept the invitation. Nothing to do with cleaning yourself up, changing your habits. It's all about what God has done. It's nothing to do with morality. It's nothing to do with accomplishment. All irrelevant. The distinctive difference between biblical Christianity and every other faith system, Leonard Cohen, I want you to know, is that every other faith system tells you what you must do. Biblical Christianity alone tells you what God has done, what he has provided, what he has prepared. He simply invites, he visits, he lives a perfect life, he dies, he rises. Here is an invitation without prerequisites. Here is a banquet which is free, friends. But it is not a banquet which is cheap. It involves the death of God's innocent son for his undeserving people, and he will not have it treated cheaply. Then the owner of the house became angry. If Christianity means anything, it must mean everything. If it is untrue, it is unimportant. If it is true, it is of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. There is an empty chair available. It's available because of what Jesus has done, God's own son, and it's available for you at great cost. But you say, well, I'm not good enough. None of us are. If we were good enough, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. But I'm not religious. None of us are. This is about relationship. But I am religious. I've kept the sacraments. I've even got a church office. But it's all about relationship with Jesus the King. But it's not my scene. The church would collapse if I became a Christian. No, it wouldn't. We are all paupers. We are all overwhelmed by the generosity of this invitation to such an occasion. Well, I'm okay. I'm not too bad compared with some others I know. But your big problem is that in the end, you will not face those others you know. You'll face God. And God is perfect. But you all come on my timetable. Do not presume. There is an urgency here, isn't there? Go out quickly. Compel them to come in. It's his banquet. It's his terms. We are not in a position to dictate. You cannot come without relationship with Jesus to this banquet. You cannot have the banquet without him. Put off every excuse and come to him. It's not for the respectable, it's not for the A-listers, it's not for those on the social page on Sunday's newspaper. It's for the people who are outside, who are overwhelmed at the generosity that they should be invited to such an occasion as this. Have you said yes? For 26 years, we raised our family in the middle of a campus of a Bible college. When our children turned 21, we gave them a party and they could all choose some theme for their party. Our third daughter chose a hippie and feral night. This was really interesting in the middle of a Bible college, I can tell you, because people turned up dressed as hippies and ferals and sort of, I don't know if you know what a feral is, but it doesn't look human. And the hippies and ferals came along. And so I paid for the preparation. Ashley was our daughter. I paid for the invitations to go out. I paid for the postage stamp to pay for the invitations. And then a few nights before the party was to be held, Ashley is on the phone using my phone, for which I paid, to ring people to see whether they were coming. I said, "Ashley, what are you ringing people to see whether they're coming? If they haven't RSVP'd, they're not coming." "Oh, Dad, you're old. You don't understand. People don't RSVP anymore. So why did I pay that money for the stamps and the invitations to send it out, and now I'm paying for the phone call?" You see, you must RSVP, friends. And to RSVP is simply a matter, and it's not simplistic, but it is clear, of saying to God, "I'm sorry that I've ignored your banquet. Thank you for providing Jesus. Please, may I take a seat?" It is simple. It is clear. It's free, but it's not cheap. So will you say that? "I'm sorry. Thank you. Please." What an overwhelmingly generous invitation to a great banquet which I haven't provided and I haven't prepared. Four big questions in 20 minutes. To be a Christian, that's like sitting down at a banquet. To become a Christian, you must say yes to the invitation. Who will go to heaven? All who've RSVP'd to the invitation. Is it a big deal if I don't? Oh, friends, yes, indeed, it is a big deal. For the God who provides such a banquet at such cost will not have it treated disrespectfully and will not have it treated cheaply. It's free, but it's not cheap. Sorry. Thank you. Please. Let's pray. We are told these days, our Heavenly Father, that the human brain is much more like a picture gallery than a debating hall. We thank you that our Lord Jesus is working in the imagination and the picture gallery of our brain. We can see a banquet. We can see a provider of the banquet. We can see people who say yes and then say no. And we see an invitation going out wider and wider and more people coming, because of the generous determination to see that every seat is filled. We thank you, our Father, that this authentic biblical Christianity, according to our Lord Jesus, is indeed free and without prerequisite. But it's not cheap, because it cost you the life of your dear Son. We thank you for him, and we pray today that we would be sure that our feet will sit and place themselves under this table to eat on such an occasion at such a banquet. And we pray that you'd cause us to rejoice in these truths in Jesus' name. Amen.